Hi, I'm Diane Menzies, and welcome to Abstract Essay, where ideas take shape, thoughts find them, and every conversation explores the art of thinking beyond the obvious. And today I have my special guest, one of his advocacy, the positive musician, and of course, 7,000 shows of uplifting pop, rock, and affirmations. Other than Mr. Tony St. Tone.
Thank you so much for having me.
Welcome, Mr. Tony on Abstract Essay. And can you please introduce more about yourself that I miss?
A little hard to hear you with the music.
Sorry. So can you please invite our listeners, not invite, can you please introduce more about yourself that I miss?
Sure. There we go. My name is Tony St. Tone. I'm a singer, songwriter, and motivational speaker here in Sarasota, Florida. I'm a full-time musician. I do about 225 shows a year, and I just got back from some touring that we just did in England and in Ireland.
Yes, and thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and wisdom to the world. Hoping for more and more shows to come, Mr. Tony. And today, let's talk about, well, beyond the stage, how you perform uses a music to empower and heal. That's so fascinating, Mr. Tony. So, beyond the stage, suggest your work is about more than entertainment. Was there a pivotal moment or personal experience that catalyzed for you the music had to be tool for healing and empowerment?
So I was listening to a lot of different motivational tapes, Tony Robbins, Zig Ziglar, Earl Nightingale, who are motivational speakers. And at one point, while I was listening to these different motivational speakers, I said, how can I start putting this into my music? And that's what I started doing. I started putting these types of lyrics into my songs. And from there, I just continued writing positive songs or songs of self-empowerment, self-motivation. And then I went further than that, and I went and put together a show called Energize Your Vibes. And with Energize Your Vibes, it's a show where I put motivational speaking along, coupled along with my original songs.
How do you distinguish between simply playing music and actively using music to heal? What is the core intention you set before you even write a chord or a lyric?
So a lot of my songs come, they just come to me. I'll wake up in the morning with songs already in my head. Another way that I write is called scat singing. I'll start playing chords and I just scat sing different lyrics. So if the lyric is, we're breaking all the rules that were meant to be broken. And then I slowly start to put together a song around that concept, or it could be a reinvent your life. So as I put together these songs, they really have powerful messages for people about how to get through life and how to manifest things for themselves or just change their attitude. I have one song called It's All Attitude. So along with my show, what happens is I will do some motivational speaking and I'll speak about the song and then I present the song. But music is a very powerful thing. So when I go and play shows at the nursing homes, these are people that are older and some of them haven't moved in quite a while, but I'll start playing a song that triggers something in their memory and they'll start to move. And I've seen nurses actually break down and start to cry because they say, you know, Mr. Jones hasn't moved in 2 years. I've never seen him move. Next thing you know, he's tapping his foot to a song that he's remembering that I'm bringing to him.
Interesting indeed, Mr. Tony. Your name itself evokes a sense of sacred sound. How does identify shape your approach to your craft and your responsibility to your audience?
So, you know, my real last name is Lavornia, but I was named after St. Anthony. And back in high school, people used to call me Tony Tone. And then a friend of mine, when we were just starting a band, we were putting out our first album, I think in 1989, we were picking stage names. And so my buddy says, hey, you should go by Tony St. Tone. And that just clicked with me. Now it just happened that the word tone has some musical essence to it as well. So that just sort of set forth the motion of what I was supposed to do. You know, I've been playing for now 40 years and I've recorded 18 CDs and I'm continually putting out new music every 5 weeks. And I've just sort of evolved into this person who just really likes to motivate people. So when I have the opportunity to have music motivate people, if it's in a nursing home or a jail or a halfway house or a boys and girls club, I love to inspire people.
Inspire people is something else, something that we support here on Abstract Essay. Mr. Tony, let's talk about process. When you write a song specifically for empowerment, where do you begin? Is it with a message, a rhythm makes people feel strong, or melody that evokes hope?
Again, I've written so many songs. They all sort of come to me in different ways. Sometimes I have a message in mind, and so I'll try to have the lyrics shape and represent the feeling of the song. I have a song called Empower Me, and it's a very slow ballad. What happened to me when I wrote that song is 90% of the song was written all in one take. A lot of times what I do is I record myself. And again, I was scat singing, meaning that lyrics were just coming out, whatever, didn't have to have any meaning. And a friend of mine heard the song and said, wow, I really like that. And I kept ignoring it. And he kept saying, no, you really have to listen to that song, Tone. I think you have something there. And I was trying to play him another song. So as I went back to reanalyze it, I says, wow, there is a very strong message here about empowerment. So a lot of times they just come to me. And other times I have to just massage them a bit. I try not to overwork songs too much. I think they just sort of evolve quickly with me.
Evolve for sure. And Mr. Tony, empowerment is not just in the words. How do you use musical elements like rhythm, key, harmony, and even silence to psychologically and physiologically make people feel more powerful, grounded, and courageous?
That's a good question. I guess I've never really analyzed it too much as far as, you know, as a songwriter and having written hundreds and hundreds of songs, you sort of get a sense of where to put silence, where to put the emphasis. I'm very big into writing songs that are in a pop rock style, but I love different styles. So I have some that have a rock feel, a country feel, an R&B feel. They all seem to have their own path of which way they need to go. That's one of the things that I love, the variety that I am able to write. And I think that helps a lot when I'm actually presenting my songs to a general crowd. For example, if I'm playing a show at a jail, and there's someone there who likes reggae, I have a song that has a reggae feel. I have a song that has a rap in it. I have a song that's a little more hard rock. And the songs sort of tell me where they need to go. So where I put the pause or where I try to emphasize the lyric, all just sort of happens naturally. I don't overthink it. I've never really overthought it. It's just a thing that it's a process that you just, I think the more you do it, I'm also a graphic designer. So I think a lot of it happens too is, when you start to design something, you've already tried all these different techniques of where to place things. And some songs need, some types of fonts need to be very big on the poster and some need to be small and some need to be even smaller. So the emphasis is Saint Tone live tonight. And then the date is a little bit smaller. And then let's say the address is smaller underneath that, or maybe there's a photo. That's how the lyrics come to me. So if there's something I really need to emphasize, it just sort of happens naturally.
In a live setting, Mr. Tony, how do you transform a venue from a passive listening space into an active container for collective healing?
A lot of times I like to talk about the song before I perform it. So if I'm doing a show like Energize Your Vibes, perfect example, I use Roger Bannister, who is the first man to run a mile in under 4 minutes. And for 100 years, they had tested, you know, and timed how long it takes to run a minute. And no one had done it under 4 minutes. They thought it was impossible. Well, here comes this guy in the 1950s, Roger Bannister, who just ignored all that. And he ended up doing it. The secret was, is after he did it, 2 weeks later, someone else did it. And then 2 weeks later, someone else did it. So the name of the song is Breaking All the Rules That Were Meant to Be Broken. So society had put these rules on runners saying you can't run under 4 minutes, but he didn't believe that. So when I present the song, they already have something to build off of, and now I bring the song to them. So that starts to transform the audience into listening more of, wow, I really get this. Now I understand the song more. There's other songs that I have that are a little more lighthearted, where I encourage them to sing along in the chorus. So I'll say the chorus to them. I say, hey, this next one, I need you to sing along. And I give them a little chorus of it's na 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 na, and they say it. And then I go, okay, you're going to be singing this by the end of it. I really like putting hooks into songs that are strong hooks that people can remember the song as soon as it's done. If not before it's done, they'll sing it.
I like that, Mr. Tony. For sure, people will sing it if they love the melody. There's a science behind how rhythm affects our heart rate and brain waves. Are you consciously playing with these principles, using a specific BPM to calm anxiety, or a driving beat to energize and unite a crowd?
Yes, and I would do it on a subconscious level. I know if a song has a certain upbeat and a certain feel, it's going to really raise the energy. And what I like to do in my shows is take people on a roller coaster ride. So I, prior to the show, will know how the show is going to go if it's an all original show, meaning I'm going to start off with something mid-tempo, start to build it up, and then I bring it down to a quiet section in the middle, and then I ramp it up. I always end on a higher note with more aggressive songs or louder songs or songs that have a faster beat, because I want to end with high energy. So I'm very conscious of that when I'm preparing my shows.
Interesting, Mr. Tony. And empowerment often requires first acknowledging pain. How do you use music to guide an audience through what vulnerable terrain without leaving them there, but rather bringing them out the other side of feeling stronger?
So my latest release is a song called Explode. And it's a song that is very vulnerable for me. It's a song about letting go of things that no longer serve you. And in the lyric, I'm saying, hey, you know, I'm letting go of pain. I'm letting go of all these things, and I'm exposing them so that way I can release them. And I think with that being said, there's opportunity there for people to just work their way through things. And a lot of times I've done shows where people come up to me and go, man, I really needed to hear this today. You really touched upon things that I just needed to touch upon and didn't realize it. So I've been blessed in a sense that I've been able to perform a lot of shows where I have people come up to me after the show and say, hey, that show really moved me a lot more than I expected.
How does empowerment fostered a single performance translate into sustained action or change in a person's daily life? Do you have mechanisms to keep that energy alive beyond the stage?
Well, if you think of songs as anchors, anchors are things that will remind you, you know, if I were to, let's say your grandmother passed away, and she's 99 years old. She passed away, and everyone kept coming up to you and tapping you on the shoulder and saying, I'm sorry, tapping you on the shoulder and saying, I'm sorry. And you're already at an emotional state. As they keep tapping you on your shoulder and saying they're sorry, and let's say 30 people do that, about 2 weeks later, you could be in a bar and someone could tap you on the shoulder and say, oh, I'm sorry, I bumped into you. And you're going to instantly start to remember your grandmother because you were at a high emotional state and that caused a trigger to happen. What I like to do with my music is to talk about my music, get them in an emotional state of, listening to the song, and then when they hear the song later on, they go, oh yeah, that's that song, Breaking All the Rules, and he was talking about Roger Bannister. I have this one particular story that I talk about these two scientists that were trying to see how long a rat could swim in the 1950s, and they put them in the water. They swam for 15 minutes. They pulled them out. One guy says, let's put them back in. As they put the rats back in, the rats swam for 60 hours. And with them swimming for 60 hours, they realized that they went way beyond their potential. So I was doing a show at this jail 6 months later. A kid comes up to me and he goes, oh my God, I can't believe you're here. And I go, yeah, I'm here. And he goes, I was just telling a friend of mine yesterday about your rat story, and now you're here again. I says, oh, okay. So I know that it's sinking in, and I know that it's leaving a message with them. And obviously, it's strong enough for these guys to move on to start explaining it to other people.
Mr. Tony, as a musician, what are your short-term and long-term goals?
I would love to continue to get the message out about positive music. Positive music doesn't get a lot of airplay, but I think that there's an audience for it. And I think we're in a position now where we're getting more and more exposure, where before you wouldn't hear a lot of these songs on the radio. And I've had people come up to me who said, I've never heard a positive song like this, and I didn't know you could even write a positive song. And I was like, wow, I never even thought that someone would think that. But if they're just isolated to what's being presented through the media and through record companies, then yeah, I could understand that. So my goal is to continue to write songs that empower people and motivate them, and just play more and more shows. This new thing that we're doing in Europe, I'm really excited about that. I've done shows all around the world entertaining U.S. troops. So I've been to probably 25 different countries, 30 different countries. And now I'm doing more of that with my original material. So it's just, you know, it's endless on what the possibilities are.
Good luck to your goals, Mr. Tony, and looking forward for more success. And what will be your piece of advice for those people that don't want to be like you?
Persistence. Persistence, persistence. Be goal-oriented. Break things down into little pieces so that way they're digestible. You know, if you want to go to the moon, you got to sort of build a rocket first. You can't just sort of start jumping. You have to slowly start planning what you need to do. So my thought is start writing down what you really want to do. And then success leaves clues. Start looking at other people who are doing what you want to do.
Thank you for that advice, Mr. Tony. And can you please recommend a book or books to influence your journey?
Oh, man. I could tell you that a lot of the Tony Robbins books are really good. I can't think of any particular title off the top of my head, but anything from Tony Robbins, I like him a lot.
Hmm.
Like, I think there's a one called Awaken the Giant Within.
Yes. It's one of the best of Tony Robbins. Truly empowering book of him. And Mr. Tony, holding space for others' pain and healing is heavy. What is your personal practice for ensuring you don't absorb the trauma of your audience and burnout?
I would say that you would have to go into a situation knowing that you're there, you know, as an empath. You might start taking on everyone else's feelings and just cover yourself in white light before you go in and say, hey, I'm here to shine a light in this area. And, you know, there are times when you start feeling the energy of the room, depending on where you are. But the whole point is to hold steadfast your light and just be who you are and just beam out there. So put light out and don't try to receive any of the negativity in.
If your work is widely successful, what is the broader cultural shift you hope to see? A world where music is routinely prescribed, or where artists are seen as essential healers?
Well, I think musicians and music already are essential healers. I think that music has an incredible power to heal people. I know that if I'm feeling down, I could put a song up and it could change my mood and snap me right out of it, you know? And I also know if I want to be sad and just be in that sad place for a moment, there's a song that I could find to keep me there. So I think music already has that power. So moving forward in the future, I just like to see more songs that empower people and bring a positive message instead of all the negativity. I think we get caught up in singing songs like, you know, I'm a loser, baby, but why don't you kill me? But it's got a great hook, you know? So they sing the hook, you sing the hook, but you're singing, you know, words have power. So if you can change that to like, I'm beautiful, you know, no matter what they say. Yeah, so there, that's an empowering song. It's a different lyric.
Yes, definitely. So how do you respond to someone who is skeptical, who says music is nice, but it's not just a real therapy?
Those are people that just aren't ready to hear it. There's no past judgment on anyone who doesn't believe in it. I mean, music has to be something that you feel and enjoy. My father, for example, never really cared for music. You know, he liked to listen to talk radio. So, you know, you can play him the most beautiful song ever and it just doesn't really resonate with him. And that's okay. He is who he is. So some people that are skeptics, I'm not here to prove anyone wrong. But I do believe that there are music is energy and vibration. So I think it'll get to you one way or another, if you believe it or not.
Definitely. In using music to heal others, how has the process inevitably healed parts of you? Can you share an instance, where a song you wrote for your audience gave you a gift in return?
Yes. Songs like I just recently said, Explode, was for me therapy, because it was me exposing myself in a vulnerable position of saying the lyrics that I say, but also I know that it was healing for me. So putting those types of songs out, and a lot of times I think some of the songs are just messages for me that I'm sharing with others, because I have a song called Best Case Scenario. And it's, you know, most people think of the worst case scenario. It's like, oh, my God, I'm going to be late. And if I'm late, I'm going to lose my job. And if I lose my job, I'm going to lose my house. So they go down this rabbit hole of what the worst case scenario can be. And it can keep getting worse. And I said, well, what if you get back to center and say, what's the best case scenario? Most people say, well, I don't want to be disappointed, so I don't want to think of that. I go, well, if you get what you focus on, wouldn't it be better to think of the best case scenario instead of the worst case scenario? And they're like, well, I'm preparing myself to be let down. I go, well, you're focusing on getting let down. So I have been in that situation where I have a knee-jerk reaction, and I have friends of mine or my wife who will start singing, give me that best case scenario back to me. They're like, hey, remember that song you wrote? Give me that best case scenario. I'm like, yes. They're like, and it's a reminder. And that, again, is a trigger for me going, oh, yes, I have to remember. What's the best case scenario? You know what? I'm in traffic right now, but the cars are going to move away. I'm going to get there on time. I have plenty of time. This is going to work out. And then I start to put my focus there.
Interesting, Mr. Tony. But before we wrap up our discussion for today, I'm inviting you to please to listen to my other podcast, people, my other podcast, because my abstract essay is already in fifth season, abstract poetry in second season, and my book 101 review in fifth season too, comedy 101 in second season, and my food 101 in fifth season as well, geography 101 in fourth season, and my baby podcast law 101 and mental health 101, love letters in third season, and movie 101 review and music 101 in fourth season, and science 101 and sex 101 in its first season. Please listen to them wherever you listen your podcast. So, Mr. Tony, how are you specifically using your platform to mentor or inspire your young artists to see their own music, not just as a career, but as a form of a service?
I think the way I'm doing it is lead by example. And I tell that to people. I actually have a song called Turn Yourself Around. And a lot of times we spend a lot of energy and time trying to help someone. But if they're on FM and I'm on AM, the frequencies, we're not going to be able to hear each other because we're in two different places. So I say, take all that that time and energy and use it upon yourself and lead by example. So what I like to see is, if there's other young artists out there that want to do what I'm doing, I'm going to continue moving forward and breaking new ground and experimenting with new ways to get original positive music out there. And hopefully that will help others find their way going, oh, well, there's a guy named Saint Tone out there who's doing this type of music.
Thank you, Mr. Tony, for sharing your knowledge and wisdom. Hoping for more and more music to come. So can you please invite our listeners to support your business, your advocacy, your music, or anything you want to promote on Abstract?
Sure. If they want to check out www.sainttone.com, it's SAINTTONE.com.
Yes, people, let's support Mr. Tony, because if you support him, for sure, more and more empowering music to come. So, Mr. Tony Saint Tone, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
More to come, people. See you soon.